The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's music time. We're joined by Nadine O'Regan, presenter of Songs in the Key of Life on Today FM, also, of course, the arts editor of the Sunday Business Post, and by John Cadell from rockyoulike.com. And we're going to start with Bono and U2, but not about his tax affairs. It's about the giving away of free albums. They're at it again, are they?
They're sort of at it again. They're doing the same tactic that was employed by Niall Horan and also Taylor Swift with regard to the new release. Instead of secreting their album into your iTunes library, they're doing something slightly different. If you buy a concert ticket, you have the option to also have a copy of the new album.
For free, is it?
Yes. But so it's sort of an elect-in decision as opposed to an arrangement whereby the album infiltrates your iTunes library like a thief in the night.
Yeah, because John, I thought it was a really nice analogy from Bono in which he said that the last time round with Songs of Innocence, it was like opening your fridge and finding the milk was there, whereas now this time the bottle of milk has been left on the doorstep and you can decide whether you want to bring it in or not.
Yeah, or even to take the analogy even further, at this point you will ring the milkman and tell him whether or not you want the bottle of milk on your doorstep. They're playing it a bit safe this time round, all right. I mean, the Songs of Innocence giveaway was a pure disaster for you two.
But why did people get so worked up about having an album given to them
because
for nothing?
Because it's the same as if you get free stuff through your door, leaflets, pamphlets, anything. This is why people
are
put up a sign.
Are you calling Songs of Innocence
door
spam?
Do you think every single person in the world wants automatically to own a copy of U2's new album? They don't. It's fine if you happen to be a music fan, and even better if you happen to be a U2 fan. But this is why people post things on their letterbox saying no, whatever.
Well, musical spam.
Well, she has a point, Matt, because if somebody put in an album by an artist that I didn't like, just put it into my iTunes account, I wouldn't be overly happy about it. Now, it just so happens that I am a big U2 fan and I was quite happy to listen to the free gift that they presented us. But this time around, they're sort of going, you can have our album if you want it. But they're a bit sort of like,
but you'll have to pay for it or else you'll actually have to buy a concert ticket and then get a free.
Yeah, like we were talking about Niall Horan, who got a number one album in the US by just this very method.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of saying you can have it if you want it, but you don't have to take it. And they're doing themselves a bit of a disservice there. The bundle should just be, you get the album, the physical album with your ticket sent out to you. If you don't want it, just throw it away. It's not going to be in your
inbox. And we're getting to hear more and more bits of Songs of Experience, a new album which has been launched on the 1st of December. Let's hear a bit of Get Out of Your Own Way. I'm trying to think.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, this is the problem you two have at the moment. The instant familiar sound, you suddenly start thinking, hang on, is that some other song from the past?
Well, the thing, I mean, we've had three songs so far, haven't we, from Songs of Experience. The Blackout, that other one, Best Thing About Me, and this.
Yeah.
I loved The Blackout, and I don't like the most recent two songs. It's a production thing, I think. I don't like the way they sound.
Production.
I don't know. I want you two to rock out. On Songs of Innocence, the best tracks were the ones where they were crunching. And it's not being a rock snob thing. Like the likes of Cedarwood Road and Volcano, where it was just the four of them in a room just bashing away at the instruments. And that's when U2 are at their best, certainly in the last 15 years or so. It's just, it's too measured and too polished and too nice.
I think they've always been a highly self-conscious band, and they've always been a tremendously ambitious band. They've always wanted to take over the world, and to some extent they have managed to do that. But I think they have been hit very hard by the critical backlash against the last album. And as a result, this album in some respects is highly calibrated, but in other respects is seeing them go back to basics. Because as they said, they took it apart, they pressed pause on it, they went back into a room and re-recorded it.
With about five producers.
With Steve Lillywhite overseeing, with five producers, absolutely. And what I like actually about this track is that it sounds quite middle-aged. It sounds like who they are.
It sounds to me a bit like Fleetwood Mac. You can go your own way.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to go into a 1 second.
They didn't even mention it on the release or anywhere, but Kendrick Lamar pops up at the end of it, but he pops up in a very kind of subtle way, and it's just there to kind of maybe add a tiny bit more zing to it in 2017. Look, I actually think that them being true to themselves, it says it all, the title, Get Out of Your Own Way. That's what they're trying to do. Maybe they're not meant to take over the world in 2017. Maybe they're meant to become what they actually are, which is, and I hate to use the word, a legacy act.
But Bono has always been terrified of turning into the Rolling Stones, and the other band members have even said to him, stop going on about not being relevant anymore. He said, I'm terrified of us not being relevant anymore. But the fact of the matter is, they can't, at this stage, compete with their
own back catalogue. They're relevant to people of the age of 45 up, probably.
But see, if you said that to Bono, he would take issue with it, although you're more than likely right. I mean, I don't see any 17-year-old music fans coming
and
to
the tribute
new
album
U2.
Bit that you say as well about. I mean, how much money did they make from the Joshua Tree 30th anniversary tour?
Oh, they made $271 million from the 50-date tour, and they will do that again.
There's
next
a lot of money
year.
To be made in nostalgia,
they
isn't there?
Well, they absolutely, but also I think it was about time that they stood up and said, "Listen, we are proud, and we should be proud of our back catalogue. Those songs are phenomenal tracks, and they deserve to be celebrated." They shouldn't be ignored. So for U2 to turn into what they are, which is a group of incredibly phenomenally successful men entering their middle period, middle to late possibly, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Okay, now can I ask you just before we go to a break, who's Sia?
So Sia Furler is a woman who was on the fringes for many years with several bands, writing pop hits for other people, and then took off and became a phenomenon of her own with massive, global, huge pop hits, but always had, or nearly always had, a little kind of a wig or something in front of her face so you didn't know who she was. That was kind of the gimmick.
And now we know everything about how she looks.
Well, kind of. There's been reports surfacing that that there are shots of Sia in the nude online that people can pay to view them if they want. But Sia has done something really brilliant, which is that she's come out and said, you know what? Here's the shot they're talking about. You can have it for free.
She's
and
put
she's
it up
posted
on Twitter.
It online. Yeah. She's taken control of it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Sia, she didn't always have the face cover. That was something I think she did with her last album. She said she was tired of being photographed and all about her looks.
Tell us about Sean Combs' change of identity again.
Oh God, yeah, he's not going to be known by any other nomenclature now other than Love. Love is his new name.
Brother Love.
Brother Love. Well, Love, a.k.a. Brother Love. But, you know, if you know him as well as I do, it's Love. He's had numerous names in the past.
Such as, remind us.
P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean.
Let's hear him explain it.
Combs.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? I have some very serious, serious news. I've been playing on this, and I decided, I know it was risky because I knew it could come off as corny to some people. Like, yo, I decided to change my name again. I'm just not who I am before. I'm something different. So my new name is Love, a.k.a. Brother Love. I will not be answering to Puffy, Diddy, Puff Daddy, or any of my other monikers, but Love or Brother Love, okay? It's my birthday. I feel good. God is the greatest. I give all glory, and I thank my mama and daddy. Mwah!
That'll be Mr. and Mrs. Love.
Yeah, does the answer to Plonker. Tell us about the new Morrissey album. I believe you've heard some of it, Nadine.
Yeah, I have been listening to it. Now, that's just it. Only a few listens yet, because it has just been made available to...
It's not due out till Friday week.
It's not due out till Friday week.
You're in a privileged position.
I've...
That's because she's an award-winning journalist now, Matt.
Oh, well, there true. You go.
Showbiz scoop of the year.
Yes.
But so got it yesterday, and it's very interesting. We're talking about U2 before the break, and U2 making an album that sounds like their age. Morrissey thoroughly sounds his age on this record. He speaks about very dark and miserable things. Now, we could argue that he has always spoken about dark and miserable things, but usually there's been maybe a happy undercurrent, a sense that perhaps you could dance to it in the club. But this time around, he speaks about loneliness, sings about loneliness, actually. It's very, very dark.
Before I ask you about Jonathan, let's hear a little bit of I Wish You Lonely.
Yeah, there's nothing about that song I don't like.
It's
a great song. You got that sort of glam rocky bit at the start, and then the drum work is brilliant.
As well, the synths.
The bass is that way you like it, Matt. The bass is grooving, and Morrissey's vocal is brilliant, and the lyrics are very good.
The lyrics are very good. The trouble with the record at times, though, is it becomes overwhelming in its misery.
In its Morrissey.
And in its hate.
But see, Morrissey,
he has a lot of hate on it. There's some really, really angry lyrics against soldiers, asking them what exactly it is they think they're fighting for, what kind of war, do they even understand the war they're fighting for, and if they die or if they don't die, does it really matter?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with asking those sort of questions?
There's nothing wrong with it. Just as a listener, it becomes overwhelming at points. Okay. Individually, take the songs individually and you can see their strength, absolutely.
Let's go for albums of the week. You've done it again, John. You've gone for another reissue.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, just because like there's new albums released, it doesn't mean that there's
yeah,
one good enough.
Okay, but you've actually gone for one of the lesser albums in the REM back catalogue.
Okay, explain yourself, Cooper.
Not true.
Go on.
Automatic for the People.
What's not what's seriously.
Their best, Nadine Kunis. Okay. Now, just because you won an award, what's their best album then, Matt?
My favourite one's Green.
All right, okay. And what else is better than Automatic for the People?
I prefer most of the stuff from the 80s before they were really big.
Oh God, you're one of them. This is Automatic for the
He's
People.
He's got a t-shirt somewhere that says I heard REM
before. I saw them in the
RDS
in 1989 was a great gig.
Not only is it not one of the lesser albums in the REM back catalogue, it is one of the finest albums ever put together. It's REM's Automatic for the People, which for its 25th anniversary is being reissued as a deluxe box set, and there's demos on there. There's a rare live show from the period, I think, November 92.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Night Swimming.
I wasn't finished.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night. The photograph on the dashboard, taken years ago, turned around backwards so the windshield shows. Every street light reveals a picture in reverse. Still it's so much clearer, I forgot my shirt at the water's edge.
I'm tight on time, so I'm not saying I dislike the album. I just find there are many other REM albums I prefer. Now, your pick of the week, Nadine, thankfully, is something that's from the 21st century.
Jesus.
So, Baxter Jury with Prince of Tears. Yes, he is Ian Jury's son. He have hit me with the rhythm stick and the Blockheads, but it's his fifth album, and yes, you can hear his father on it. You absolutely can, in the sense that there's a lot of vocal mannerisms that come to the fore. It's a gorgeous little record.
Paternal plagiarism, is it?
Paternal plagiarism. You know what? Why not? It sounds great.
Let's hear a little bit of Miami.
I'm the sausage man, the shadow licker. I'm the tiny little ghost that features in your despondent moments. The timeless whisper, the glassy dude. I'm the science of all that's wrong, and I'm making you think that you doubt everything you love. But I'm here to stay.
Okay, I don't know whether to actually listen to that or dig out my old Ian Dury cassettes
instead. It's so funky though, isn't it? Like, the whole album's kind of like that. It's really groovy, kind of sexy, very staccato in the delivery. And yeah, I mean, you can't deny the influence. But what's the problem with that?
Influence, yeah, that's a mild way of putting it. Very briefly, tell us about the return of the cassette.
The cassette is back.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it?
There's Cassette Day now in the United States. Record Store Day started it off, and now it's Cassette Day. And big artists such as Justin Bieber and Eminem have recently released stuff.
Why? The sound quality is nothing like a record or even a CD.
I don't know why.
It's mixtapes. It's all about the mixtape. The adolescent idea, and in fairness, adult idea of fancying somebody and making them a mixtape, that carries through the generations. And there have even been TV shows recently.
No, you make them a playlist now, you send them a link.
It's not the same. I remember getting a USB key from somebody and it just wasn't the same.
Nadine O'Regan, presenter of Songs in the Key of Life here on Today FM, and also John Cadell from rockylike.com. Thank you for joining us. And Nadine, congratulations on your award from the News France Journalist of the Year Awards last week for your great scoop on the Riviera television row.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.